Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 6th. Coming up today,
a Chinese balloon upends relations with the U.S. and stirs up criticism on Capitol Hill.
The head of the IMF has a warning if the U.S. defaults on its debt.
Dell is the latest tech company to slash jobs.
And Carlyle Group nabs a former Goldman exec to be its next CEO.
I'm Amy Morris. New York City schools are having to take in children without proof of vaccination. And Connecticut prepares for the possible arrival of busloads of migrants.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets traded Kyrie Irving to Dallas. The Knicks came from behind, beat Philadelphia at the Garden.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with the high-flying international incident that is threatening to bring U.S.-China relations to a new low. This morning, dive teams are off the coast of South Carolina salvaging what's left of a suspected Chinese spy balloon that drifted across the U.S. last week. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Biden administration made the right call in waiting to take the device down.
I commend President Biden's leadership in taking down the Chinese balloon over water to ensure safety for all Americans and maximize the intelligence we gain.
But Republicans are arguing President Biden could have acted sooner when the balloon was first spotted over Alaska. Marco Rubio is the top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
It really would have been helpful for the president of the United States to get on national television and explain to the American people, this is what we're dealing with, this is what I'm going to do about it, and this is why I haven't done it yet.
Senator Rubio was on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Leader Schumer says the Senate will get a full classified briefing next week.
Well, Nathan, those geopolitical concerns are weighing on global markets. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped 2%, while stocks in China fell 1.3%, and U.S. futures are also lower. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs strategists say the 8% rally in stocks over the past month may be as good as it gets this year. Goldman says the S&P 500 now accurately reflects signs of better-than-expected economic growth and a drop in bond yields. At the same time, Goldman says higher valuations, lackluster corporate earnings, and elevated interest rates means there's little room for the rally to extend.
Meanwhile, Karen, Wall Street returns to another busy week for earnings reports, and we get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
There are questions on Wall Street about whether the outlook for corporate profits are still too high. Mike Wilson is chief U.S. equity strategist at Morgan Stanley.
Earnings are disappointing everywhere, okay? This is one of the worst streaks in earnings we've seen in quite a while. And people are now saying, oh, it's better than feared and this, that, and the other. That's like saying a tornado ripped through your house and saying, oh, well, it only knocked out the bedroom. I mean, the earnings are bad, and you need to be honest about that.
So far, we've heard from half of S&P 500 companies. Among the names scheduled to report this week, BP, Uber, and Disney. We'll also hear from Yum Brands, PepsiCo, DuPont, PayPal, Hilton, and CVS Health. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, the head of the International Monetary Fund warns that American consumers would suffer if the U.S. defaults on its debt. Kristalina Georgieva says a default would cause a spike in borrowing costs that would squeeze average Americans.
If the U.S. defaults, that would push interest rates up. And if people don't like inflation today, they're not going to like at all what may happen tomorrow.
The IMF's Kristalina Georgieva made the comments on 60 Minutes from CBS. Our Washington listeners can catch the program Sunday nights at 10 on Bloomberg 99.1.
Let's turn to corporate news now, Karen. The tech industry is seeing more job cuts this morning. We get the story from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
Dell Technologies says it will eliminate about 6,650 jobs. A company spokesperson says the reductions amount to about 5% of Dell's global workforce. After the cuts, Dell's headcount will be at its lowest level in at least 6 years. Dell has been facing plummeting demand for personal computers. Layoffs have hammered the tech sector in recent months, including many of Dell's peers and competitors. HP, Cisco Systems, and IBM have all announced cutbacks. The tech sector announced more than 97,000 job cuts in 2022. Consulting firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says that's up 649% compared with the previous year. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thanks. Well, in other corporate news this morning, Carlyle Group has chosen its next CEO. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
He's Harvey Schwartz, a former co-president of Goldman Sachs. He departed in 2018 when he wasn't chosen to succeed Lloyd Blankfein as CEO. The job went to David Solomon instead. We are told Carlyle is planning to announce the appointment of Schwartz as soon as this week. He'll take over from co-founder Bill Conway, who has been interim CEO after some management turnover. In recent years, Carlyle expanded beyond its buyout roots to the business of credit. The aim was to recover ground lost in 2022 to bigger rivals Apollo Global and KKR. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Doug, thanks. In India, the stock route Royal and Gautam Adani's indebted conglomerate entered a third week as its flagship firm suffered a fresh fundraising setback and a major credit rating agency downgraded the outlook on two of its companies. Ever since U.S. short seller Hindenburg's fraud allegations last month, Adani has lost $118 billion, or more than half the market value of its companies. Adani has repeatedly denied the claims.
Well, Nathan, Tesla is raising the prices of its Model Y SUV in the U.S. The cost of the Model Y long range is increased by $1,500 to just under $55,000, while the Model Y Performance is up $1,000 to nearly $58,000. And the move comes after the Biden administration introduced measures to make more crossover SUVs qualify for the newly revamped tax credit. This is Bloomberg.
It is 41 degrees in Central Park. It's going to turn sunny and a lot milder today. We'll get up to near 50 degrees, down to the low 30s tonight with a few clouds. Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. is offering help to find quake survivors in South Central Turkey and in neighboring Syria. After a magnitude 7.8 earthquake, more than 600 deaths are reported after the quake that was centered in Turkey, but it was felt as far away as Lebanon and Israel. The White House National Security Advisor has issued a statement saying, quote, President Biden has directed USAID and other federal government partners to assess U.S. response options. The flood of migrant children into New York City has forced schools to now take in children without proof of vaccination. An estimated 11,000 migrant children have enrolled in city schools since the summer, and the New York Post reports many of them are unvaccinated. Students in kindergarten through fifth grade in city schools are required to have multiple vaccines, including for chickenpox, polio, and hepatitis B. One middle school in Gramercy Park has already had one case of chickenpox. Connecticut is urging cities and towns to prepare themselves for the possible arrival of busloads of migrants from the southern border. The request was made over concerns about the buses that were arriving in New York City and in Philadelphia. State officials say the request was not made because of any specific warning, only indicating it would be good to be prepared. Officials say any migrants shipped to the state would likely be housed locally in schools or other public buildings until suitable housing can be found. The 65th annual Grammy Awards are in the books. Harry Styles won Album of the Year. Lizzo won Record of the Year.
I look around and there's all these songs that are about loving our bodies and feeling comfortable in our skin. And I'm just so proud to be a part of it.
Beyonce also made history. She won 4 of the 9 categories in which she was nominated. That brings her total number of Grammys over her lifetime to 32. That's the most of any recording artist ever. Global news powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy.
Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Kyrie Irving has played for three NBA teams. He has forced himself out of all three. Won a championship in Cleveland, then got tired of playing second fiddle to LeBron James. His next stop was Boston. That didn't go well. And his 4 years in Brooklyn included the unvaccination controversy of last season. This year's controversy was about anti-Semitism. Kyrie just demanded a trade, and the Nets traded him to Dallas. Nets get back an old friend. Spencer Dinwiddie flourished in his five seasons in Brooklyn. The Nets also pick up Dorian Finney-Smith and three draft picks, a first-rounder, but that's not until 2029. At the Garden, Knicks trailed Philadelphia by 21, then got back in with a 17-0 run. A seldom-used Nick played a big role in the win.
Brunson backs it up from Doc Rivers. Fakes the pass. Top for Brunson. Up top, four to shoot. Drives the bounce. Fournier fadeaway three. Nails it! Ooh! Evan Fournier, what a performance with 14. He's made four threes, and the Knicks lead 91-84.
On ESPN New York, Evan Fournier last season set a Knick record for most three-pointers made, but he's been buried on the bench. He saw time with R.J. Barrett out sick, and he scored 17, and the Knicks beat the Sixers 108-97. College hoops, Seton Hall's won seven of the last eight. Pirates beat DePaul 69-64. The Islanders, who just acquired Bo Horvat from Vancouver, signed him to an eight-year contract before he's even played his first game with the Isles. The Mets hired Carlos Beltran to work in the front office. He was going to be their manager in 2020 until the revelations of his involvement in the sign-stealing scandal in Houston. Justin Rose leads the golf at Pebble Beach by two shots. They'll finish play today. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. We begin a new trading week with more companies due to report earnings, new questions about the Fed's policy path after last week's blowout jobs report, and geopolitical risk back in play thanks to a Chinese surveillance balloon. Let's get more on all this now. We're very pleased to be joined by Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Lori, it's good to speak with you this morning, but not such a good morning for markets when you consider the Hang Seng closed down 2% overnight, and we're watching futures begin the week pointing to a lower open. How much is geopolitical risk potentially a risk for this market in the medium to long term?
Well, thanks for having me, as always. And look, geopolitical risk, as we, you know, well learned last year, is something that markets often struggle to digest, at least initially, and can potentially have negative consequences. And I think with China in particular, there's just been one series of events after another, dating all the way back to 2018, that have told us the world isn't going global anymore. So that's really how I interpret it this morning. You know, I think one of your reporters had a brilliant phrase, a turn of phrase, when they called it a bizarre saga. And that's really, I think, quite appropriate here. But nevertheless, it does highlight once again that deteriorating relations between U.S. and China are something investors have to keep at the forefront of their minds. And that stands in contrast to the fact that people are getting very excited about the China reopening for the last few months. So I understand why markets are down a little bit on this news.
That's a really interesting point, given that, we have seen a lot of excitement around the reopening. I know you talked to a lot of market participants in your role. What are they saying in terms of how they're thinking about U.S.-China relations and how it could impact their investments?
Well, you know, aside from this particular issue, where it's been coming up the most has been in discussions of sector performance. So if you want to play the China reopening or just, you know, kind of get exposure to areas with high Asia-Pac exposure, technology and materials have been two of the ways to play it. And those are two areas that have been acting much better in recent months. But I think the other place it really comes into play is our conversations with investors about industrials. And I want to be clear that industrials is a sector that I have market weight on. I do have some concerns about valuation. But we do point out that industrials is getting caught up in the broader reshoring theme. Just this idea of, you know, when I started in the business 2000 for the next 10 years or so, it was all about going global. Well, now we're reversing that trend right now. And industrials is really at the epicenter of where you want to be if we are, you know, sort of seeing companies, seeing governments want to make more things close to home. And that's really where it comes up. And we point out to people that it's not just about any one event. It's about that series of events, again, going back to 2018, where the relations just seem to keep deteriorating.
Other than industrials, are there other sectors that are affected by the reshuffling of supply chains that we've seen, not just due to geopolitical risk, but post-pandemic, trying to bring things closer to home?
Well, I think that's certainly been an issue for a number of consumer companies. We'd already seen, you know, a number of consumer companies after the trade war shift things around in non-U.S. geographies. I think materials gets caught up into this to a certain extent as well, just as residual on the industrial impact. But I would say industrials is really at the epicenter of it.
I want to get your thoughts on where this rally goes from here. We've seen an 8% increase in the S&P 500 since the start of the year. Does this have further to go?
So I think one of the things that people were concerned about U.S. equities coming into this year was just rotation and the idea that bonds looked more appealing, that non-U.S. equities looked more appealing. And I think those are certainly, you know, sort of issues at play. But we have to remember that, you know, you tend to see inflows go into all asset classes at the start of a year. And so I think that's one of the things that's helped U.S. equities so far this year. You know, it's funny, we've been talking a lot about how the stock market, if you look at daily trading in the S&P for the past year, it's tracked very tightly that 02-03 time period, which was another period of messy post-crisis normalization. And we're starting to see that breakdown recently in the S&P 500's favor. You've had a positive breakout from that 02-03 path. And I just bring that up because if we are going to have another sort of early year retrenchment, now is about when it should be starting, perhaps a little bit later than the historical playbook suggested. But now is really kind of the time when you'd expect to see it.
So in our last 30 seconds, at least in this part of the conversation, are you looking for stocks to move demonstrably lower before the first half?
So, you know, I would say I'm not part of the sort of deeply bearish consensus that's been pounding the table on the idea that we need to go back and surpass the October lows. We've said that there's risk of retesting those lows. I think that if we do, you know, have that break, I would be surprised at this point in time if we were to retest or really even, you know, break below those October lows, because I think the market has still got enough evidence that the soft landing thesis is intact for now. I mean, we are, I think, coming up on the point when we'll have most of the earnings downgrades in, and traditionally that's a clearing event for markets. So I think there's risk to the downside, but I think the bears have kind of overstayed their welcome and over-articulated their case.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.